It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As Governor Tony Evers lays out his policy goals for the year ahead, we get analysis on last night's annual State of the State address delivered in the State Assembly chambers, and you can join the discussion. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Anya Van Wagtendonk is WPR State Capitol Reporter. Anya, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, Kate.
Hi, and Sean Johnson here as well, WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back.
Hi, Kate.
So, Sean, starting with you, Democratic governor addressing the Republican-led legislature, non-budget year, what was the tenor like in the assembly chambers last night?
You know, in the chambers itself, if you watch these things, you're kind of used to how it goes in terms of which side claps for what. There are 64 Republicans in the 99-member assembly, and they tend to sit for a lot of what the governor says. The Democrats tend to stand up and clap for a lot of it. So that's sort of the tenor in the room. I think if you look at his speech, it was, a little feisty in terms of the content. He was talking about bills he would veto on restrictions to abortion, for example, restrictions to voting. He kind of made reference at one point to his gubernatorial opponent in 2022,
Tim Michaels,
saying, hey, you don't see him up here right now talking about the issue of abortion, where he and Tim Michaels were, kind of polar opposite. So I think it was a speech that it was sort of fitting for an election year, even though he's not, personally on the ballot.
And Anya, typical in these gatherings, as Sean said, much applause from Democratic lawmakers. What stood out to you about the sentiment in the chambers and the style of the address?
Yeah, you know, it was a kind of lighthearted tenor, I think. It felt a little bit like sort of back to school after winter break or something. And so I think the Democrats were feeling a little bit fired up about some themes of the speech, especially around sort of women's healthcare and reproductive access. They are not typically, generally when I'm covering the assembly, it is a space where Democrats have no particular power. And so I think this is kind of a night that they get to stand behind, their guy, cheer for some of their messaging, even though, when it comes to legislating, they might not actually get to achieve a whole lot of their goals.
So, Anya, last night, the governor declares 2024 the year of the worker, announcing new programs, initiatives to address the workforce shortages in the state. Can you talk about what he said in these programs?
Yeah, well, so he tied, many different issues to the workforce shortage, so mm-hmm. healthcare, housing, and childcare, but he also announced some sort of specific government programs that he argues are going to, bring people into the workforce and keep them there. So he announced a healthcare workforce task force, which would develop recommendations about sort of building out that particular sector, a teacher apprenticeship program through the Department of Workforce Development and DPI that's supposed to focus on teacher retention and mentorship for new teachers. And he also said that he'll establish an Office of State Employee Engagement and Retention, which is what it sounds like. It's focused on keeping state employees in the public sector.
And in talking about these challenges facing our state's workforce, told lawmakers providing additional state funding for affordable housing. And let's hear an excerpt.
Since I took office, we've invested in building nearly 15,000 affordable housing units, nearly 2,500 last year alone, and more than 24,000 housing units total. And we're not stopping there. This past year, we worked together to invest more than $500 million in workforce housing.
So, Sean, they're taking stock by the numbers. What do you hear in that in providing support for affordable housing in the state?
I think that was one of the big issues where in 2023, Governor Tony Evers and Republicans had this list of big bipartisan deals that you didn't really see as much in his first term. And then for whatever reason, the circumstances were right. Last year, they cut a bunch of big agreements, and housing was one of them. The $500 million in the budget to pay for this housing package that he signed, that Republicans passed, was a significant amount of money. And you had in that package of bills establishing loan programs for builders and landlords, making it easier for developers to get permits for new residences, putting limits on who can challenge permitting decisions, requiring that local governments approve permits for residential housing projects that don't violate local standards. But the money is a big deal when it comes to Evers and Republicans. They don't always see eye to eye on that stuff, and this was a big one where they did.
We're talking about Governor Evers' State of the State address last night. Sean Johnson is here, Anya Van Wagtendonk, both reporters covering the state capitol and politics for WPR. You can join in with your thoughts, your questions at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Anya, one clear connection that the governor made was to workforce was childcare, saying that our state it has a looming childcare crisis and highlighting directing $170 million in the childcare counts, funding the program, aiding childcare providers.
Without continued investments in childcare counts, our workforce will suffer mightily. 2,110 childcare programs are projected to close. 87,000 kids could be without child care. We could lose over 4,880 child care jobs. That's about $500 million of economic impact on our state.
Okay, so he makes the case there. What are Republicans saying about this program or broader child care needs?
Yeah, this is a really big fight sort of all of last year. Child care counts as a COVID-era federal subsidy program. And so as it was due to expire, child care advocates were at the Capitol kind of all the time pushing for more funds. Evers had included that funding in his budget, and then legislative Republicans nixed it. Then Evers ordered a special legislative session to take that up and other child care issues in September. Republicans also did not take that up. And so that's been this sort of back and forth all of 2023. Many Republicans do agree that there is a child care shortage, but they really differ with Democrats on how to address the issue. So some don't think, for example, that there should be kind of that provider level subsidy type program. So Republicans instead introduced their own legislation on this issue. They proposed things like tax incentives and tax cuts that they say will help put more money into families' pockets, so that families can sort of make their own childcare decisions. And then also on the sort of more provider side of things, they've proposed things like deregulation to address childcare staff shortages. So it really is this kind of philosophical difference about how to address the same problem.
Turning to the topic of reproductive health, Governor Evers announced directing the state health department to issue a standing order for Badger Care Plus to cover over-the-counter contraception, including emergency contraception. Anya, what is known so far about this new directive?
Yeah, it's an interesting directive. So right now, low-income people who qualify for the state Medicaid program, they can get emergency contraception covered and they can get prescription birth control covered. They don't pay for those medications under Badger Care. But then last summer, the FDA approved a new birth control pill that will be available over the counter. So you can walk into a drugstore and purchase it without a prescription, like Advil or whatever. And so what this does is it allows the pharmacy to process the insurance of a Badger Care Plus holder to pay for that over-the-counter drug. So in short, they can purchase those pills for free. And I'm curious, we got this announcement about 12 hours ago, so I haven't gotten to make phone calls on it, but I'm curious if this exists in other states. It seems like a really interesting proposal to me that I'm not familiar with elsewhere.
Yeah, Sean, what comes up for you in this proposal, in this directive?
I guess the immediate thought was, but that sounds interesting, but is that the norm in other states, or is the governor, taking liberties here, or could it be argued he is? When there are disputes in our state government, they often involve Republicans saying that an agency under Evers' control is doing stuff that should have been approved by the legislature first. Is this one of those things, or is this just kind of the standard practice now under, new federal Medicaid guidelines?
WPR's politics team, Sean Johnson and Anya Van Wagtendonk, providing us context on last night's State of the State address from Governor Tony Evers in front of the legislature, in front of state Supreme Court justices, tribal leaders, other statewide officials. Be part of the conversation. Call in with a question. You can share your perspectives at 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. We'll be right back. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As Governor Tony Evers delivers his sixth State of the State address from State Assembly Chambers, we get morning after analysis from WPR's politics team. We have State Capitol reporter Anya Van Wagtendonk and Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts as well. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So following Governor Evers' speech, we hear from Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, who delivered the Republican response. Here's part of his comments promoting tax cuts.
Wisconsin's priorities are fully funded, and yet the state still is projected to have a $4 billion surplus. That surplus should not be spent to further grow the size of government, as the governor suggests, rather create new entitlement programs or even sit in a bank account in Madison earning interest. The surplus should be returned to the working taxpayers who have given the state government more than their money than is necessary.
Okay, so Anya, there he is talking about returning those dollars, as you talked about before. Republicans have released a package of tax cut proposals. Who would benefit under these measures?
Yeah, so they actually announced them yesterday morning, so clearly kind of in conversation with the state of the state. It's a package of four bills that would raise the cap on the second tax bracket in the state to $150,000, up from $38,000. So that essentially amounts to a tax cut for those higher earners who would basically get bumped down a bracket. It would also expand the tax credit for childcare costs and on retirement income and raise the married couple tax credit. Estimates showed that it would amount to about it would cost about $2.1 billion for the next year and a half-ish, and then cost about $1.4 billion a year after that. And so it is, you know, sort of what we were talking about with that difference on funding childcare. There is this different philosophical approach to what to do with the surplus, whether to kind of put it into programs or, as Republicans say, to kind of give people's money back to them to spend how they see fit.
Sean, does a tax cut like this align with Governor Evers' values on what a tax cut should look like and who it should target?
I'm not certain yet. His office hasn't given a clear indication of where they're at on it. We've kind of gotten used to them saying no to the most recent round of tax cuts from Republicans. He has signed them in the past. He has promoted his own tax cuts in the past, but he's had a few vetoes lately. Republicans are saying that this tax cut that would bump up that second bracket to $150,000, they're saying, look, the governor's on the record with that number, calling that middle class. So we hope he'll sign this one. And he has said stuff in the past talking about $150,000 for families as a middle class tax cut. So I think we're going to have to wait and see on this one. You haven't heard a strong indication from the governor on it, though. And he did not talk about any of the governor's proposal, any of the Republicans' proposals in his speech last night.
He didn't talk about any of the Republican proposals in his speech last night, but offered some more sweeping comments about expanding paid family leave, funding for education at all levels. How does the governor plan to bring lawmakers together to advance policy on issues like this?
I think it's going to be tough for him this year. You know, he has called for this stuff in his budget last year, but we're on a 2-year budget cycle here in Wisconsin. So, you know, I know it's January and it feels like things are just getting started here, but for the legislature, this session is going to end soon. They're probably going to wrap up most of their business by late February, maybe early March. And, you know, so for the governor to get buy-in on a new child care plan or, you know, family leave or something like that, it's a challenge. It's the kind of thing where, like, you could imagine him potentially giving them something they want and them giving him something he wants as part of a deal, you know, tax cuts, child care, that type of thing. But we just haven't heard anything about that in the public. And time is running out here.
When you mentioned time, you can also talk about how Republicans even met last night after the State of State address to address election maps. Talk about what happened after the address, passing new maps last night after the address.
Yeah, they didn't pass them, but
they didn't pass.
They,
okay.
they floated the idea. So what happened yesterday is the Senate met, and we didn't really see that coming until a day ahead of time, and didn't really know what they were going to do until hours ahead of time. But Senate Republicans passed a new redistricting plan that they said was largely based on one that Governor Tony Evers submitted to the Supreme Court as part of this redistricting, lawsuit that's still ongoing, where the court may yet draw maps for the remainder of this decade. So Republicans passed this map, and Assembly Republicans, Speaker Voss, said last night, hey, we're going to look at it. We might pass it tonight. And in fact, they are coming back in this morning at 10, where they're expected to take up redistricting. And, you know, the talk is that they're trying to get something that Governor Tony Evers could sign, which would basically cut the Wisconsin Supreme Court out of this redistricting process. So you'd have new maps. And that, you know, if that theory holds, but the governor's office has said, hey, if it's not the map that the governor proposed, we are not under any obligation to sign it. Basically, we're not going to sign it if it's not his.
So something to seriously watch there, as so many different, it seems like we need a spreadsheet now on the maps, that proposals that are out there, because you got this, the state Supreme Court doing them, and then the legislature as well. You know, what should we be watching for, Sean, as this unfolds?
I think it would be great. You know, you've had some political scientists, John Johnson at Marquette, namely, do a breakdown of all these maps that were proposed to the Wisconsin Supreme Court as part of this lawsuit. Because right, the status right now is our court and the new liberal majority has said that the current legislative maps drawn by Republicans are unconstitutional. And the court has said, legislature, governor, it's up to you to pass new ones if you want. But if you don't, we are going to step in and choose new maps. And so this is kind of an 11th hour attempt by the legislature to step in and get something that they're okay with. But the governor's plan, like the others submitted by Democratic plaintiffs and, you know, others who are party to the case, would shrink Republican majorities in the legislature, which are huge right now for a purple state. I mean, you're looking at a near veto-proof majority in both chambers. So the governor's plan would be better for Democrats, but potentially not as good for Democrats as some options that are currently before the court. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. As we talk about the State of the State address, Sean Johnson with us, Anya Van Wagtendonk, both reporters covering the Capitol and unfolding politics. You can join in. Questions and comments along the way, 800-642-1234. The governor touted approving additional state aid for local government services as a significant accomplishment from last year.
Our bipartisan effort included a 20% increase in support to most municipalities statewide. After a generation of our state asking for local partners to do more with less, today we're working to deliver on our promise of making sure our communities can meet basic and unique needs alike.
And Sean, how much are communities benefiting from the additional state aid known as shared revenue?
I think that at this point, you've heard nothing but the good stuff. I mean, it's very early on in terms of how that aid is actually translating to, services being funded. But it was just passed last year. So all the communities that wanted it are saying good things. I mean, and Milwaukee was talking about dire consequences if that state aid package didn't also include a, sales tax for the city and county, which they got. So we're kind of in those early stages right now. But that was one of the biggest bills that, the governor will sign this session. And, kind of remarkable that they signed it at all, given the partisan breakdown of state government.
Anya, last words here in our moments together. How active are you expecting lawmakers to be in the next few weeks? How busy is your schedule?
Well, I am apparently returning to the Capitol at 10 a.m. today, so it does seem like things are going to be moving and churning. They're also due to meet Thursday, so there are quite a few things on the calendar. If this maps thing does get relatively resolved, that would at least take a little something off my calendar, but I'm expecting legislators to really be kind of putting in the hours up through the end of session. There are quite a few bills still left to be resolved. And so it is never a dull moment on the Capitol beat.
Well, thank you both for joining us and getting us up to speed.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks, Kate.
Anya Van Wagtendonk, WPR's state Capitol reporter. Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show. You're on the Ideas Network.